We'll get back to the Advent candles next week. We had a lot of decorating going on, and I didn't get it put out, so forgive me for that. A couple of other prayer requests going into this. If you think Christmas for you is going to be stressful, Harry will be having surgery this Wednesday. Darlene assures me it's outpatient. It's a piece of cake, Harry, wherever you are. But Harry will be having an outpatient surgery Wednesday at Elkhart General. And Daryl Ryder, a little more serious, a lot more serious. Daryl Ryder will be having a heart bypass surgery in Elkhart from the Elkhart Heart team there. And he is another one of those that they go, wow, we can't imagine you're doing so well with the blockages that you have and the calcified arteries. So pray for Daryl and pray for the entire family as they are kind of, you know, watching this develop going into Christmas. And Darla was saying that his brother just had his own, or is having a heart. Cousin, same time, in some other state, same thing. So runs in the family, I guess. Was it Joyce just had hers? So, huh? Labor Day. Daryl's wife Joyce just had heart attack, and she just went through this whole thing. So Daryl Ryder, and pray for our Harry back there. We're with you, man. Piece of cake. You got this. So no fun. We have a lot to rejoice for. That's what I want to talk about today, Advent week number two. And so I want to read a passage of scripture to you. It's in Philippians. We're still in Philippians. It's a perfect Advent chapter, right? Philippians. And it says that we await a Savior, and we are waiting a Savior in Advent. So I want to read, beginning at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read down about 6 or 8, 10 verses. And I'm going to read it just like he wrote it. Instead of seeing that big number 4 right there, and all those things, I'm going to read it just like he wrote it, and then I'm going to show you why I think it kind of flows together. Now, if you've missed some of the Philippians sermons, we know that he began by saying, "Hey, I want you to be able to love, and I want it to overflow, so that you can see into all of life's situations with knowledge and discernment, and see Christ in it. All of life is not easy, fun, and good." But I want you to continue to love, and I want you to be able to see Christ in all these situations. He moved on very quickly, and he said, I want you to have this mind, the mind that Christ had. He emptied himself. He humbled himself in chapter 2. And I want you to have that mind as you move forward, emptying, humbling yourself. He gave us a couple of examples, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and then himself. He shared his testimony and said, everything I've built in my life I count as loss, gladly giving it all away to know Christ. So then he says in chapter 3, I don't consider that I've reached my goal. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not saying that. I'm still working really, really hard. To find the power of the resurrection of Christ. I am still working very hard. Don't get me wrong. I haven't arrived. And so he says, imitate me and those like me who have this mind, who think this way, who do this. And then he says, there are those who don't. There are some of you out there, he says, that your mind is set on things of this earth. He says, your God is your belly, you glory in your shame. Key phrase, your mind is set on earthly things and not on Christ. So your end is destruction. I'm sorry, they think They may think they have a better outcome, but quite honestly, they don't. So that's where he's been up to this point. And we read these verses last week, verse 20, chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the word of God. So we read part of this last week. Our citizenship is in heaven. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that we don't have to go through what some of those are going through that have to be citizens of the United States. I had an employee whose temporary residency ran out. They've already paid $7,000 or $8,000 for temporary residency here. It ran out. They had to go to Chicago twice, pay a couple more $1,000, and then she had to leave her husband and three kids who were in school at Memorial High School. She had to move back to Mexico until the consulate would sign her papers and redo her temporary residency while she works on becoming a citizen of the United States. So she's doing everything right. When it's all over, she'll pay $14,000 approximately, make several trips to Chicago for motels and food, leave her family, go back to Mexico a few times, have to stay. Luckily, she has family there, and she will stay there. Now, I'm all for becoming citizens. I'm all for that. I'm just not all for that. And I thank my God that that's not what I had to do to become a citizen of heaven. I gave my life to him, and he said, "You're in. You're in. You're a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship's here. You're up here now." From there, from my homeland, from our homeland, we're waiting for the Savior. He came once, we're celebrating that, and he's coming again, and he will transform and change my body. He will put everything in subjection to him. And therefore, brothers, stand firm, wait for him. This way. Just stand right there. I love this little phrase in chapter 4, verse 1, whom I love and long for. That's all one word in Greek. That's just one word. Took five American words, five U.S. dollars, to make that into our language. That's just one word in the Greek. I love and long for. It's like, I miss you so bad. I love you so much. We would think of it in romantic terms, probably. When your person you're engaged to goes away on a trip or something, and you're constantly texting and writing letters and going, "Oh, I love you so much, I can't wait for you." That's what he said. I love you. Church at Philippi, Cornerstone Christian Fellowship at Philippi, I love you so much and I long for you so much. You are my joy and you're my reward. You're my crown. So just stand firm. Like this, just wait like this in the Lord, oh my beloved. That's how he wants us to wait. He wants us to wait knowing I'm not a citizen of earth anymore. I'm a citizen of heaven. And our hero, our Savior, our Lord is coming back. Just wait like this. This is what I want you to have in your mind. He's going to change everything, and he's got the power to do it. And then he goes into Yodi and Sintish, and it seems like, wow, why did he just plug this in here? Because things happen, and they weren't waiting that way. They were in a sharp disagreement, and they needed help. It was so sharp that they actually needed some help, someone to come along and say, hey, let's clean this up. And very clearly, they've worked with him in the Lord. They're fellow workers. Their names are written in the book of life. But they need a little help. And they're not waiting. They're not standing firm like he wanted them to. So he talks to them. He mentions them. And they're in here for a very good reason. And then in verse 4, this is really what he wants. He rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. And when they do that in the Bible, that's just really, he's jumping up and down. He's talking loud now. Rejoice in the Lord. We have so much to rejoice in the Lord about. There's no time for these disagreements. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I'll say, rejoice. Now listen, this is why I think that this little paragraph here does refer to Yodi and Sintish as well as to all of us. In verse 5, it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. I think that's something we say to people who are in a disagreement, who are in a sharp disagreement. Hey, be reasonable. Well, let's be reasonable. If we're going to solve this disagreement, we need to be reasonable, right? That's what he would say. Reasonable, kind of gentle, approachable, speakable, coachable, shapeable. That's what that means. Let your reasonableness be made known. Everybody knows we can talk to you. He can come to you. You will listen. You will take this advice. You're gentle. You're not a brawler. The Lord's at hand. Verse 6, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Yodi and Sintish, were you anxious? Were you fretting, worrying, fussing? Is there something making you in this big disagreement? So that's often the case, isn't it? We get a little high strung. The word anxious here means divided, or you're in pieces. It's a very old word for worry or fret in the Greek language, and it just means there's things going on and you're just coming apart. Ah! Don't, he says. You don't need to do that. You don't need to be that anxious and that fretful. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. So I'm seeing reasonableness. I'm seeing anxiety, fret, and worry, and I'm saying, here's how you get the peace of God. Those are all things that would definitely pertain to Yodi and Sintish, as well as to all of us in a general way. This is what we want in this holiday season. There is plenty, so much to rejoice in Jesus Christ. We don't need this to happen at this time. That's why I say this flows together. So, couple of applications here, three to be exact. Number one, according to this passage, we have so much to rejoice in. You and I have so much to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we will see it better sometimes if we step back and see things from heaven's view. If we step back and see things from heaven's view. That's what he's saying. You're citizens of heaven. You're waiting on a Savior. Get your eyes up, not down. Step back. Let's look at this big picture. Let's look at Christmas. Angels singing in the sky. A star. A baby. I mean, this is a huge magnitude that happened. And guess what? When Jesus comes back, huge magnitude. Huge magnitude. You really want to fret here over that? So what he's saying is you need to have a vision that's bigger than what you're having. That's what he's telling them. You're waiting on a Savior, right? You're looking, you're waiting. He's coming out of those clouds. This is enormous. So we need to have a bigger vision. That's beautiful stained glass windows right there. So, you know, I don't know if I can see outside. I don't know if I can quite see outside. These are kind of frosted. Oh, that red one I can. There, we can a little bit. I can barely see. I can see a car out there. I see Pat Reiner's car right through there. White van. There's my truck over there. It's red. I'm looking through this red right here. I can see all that van over there. Very cool. Interesting stuff. It's not how that window was made, though, was it? All those little fragments never meant for me to walk up to that window and look through that little red square, that broken red square. Now, that window, the beauty of that window is seen here, isn't it? That's why people come in our church and want to see those windows. It's here. It's stepping back and seeing that whole mosaic, that whole magnificent thing. It's a window. I mean, don't you look out windows? Well, yeah. But that's not how that window was made. It's not how me and you were made. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. All things in our life, every little broken piece of glass, every little color, every little fragment was never meant for me to look at my life and go, all I can see is red. Never meant that way. My life was meant to be looked at and lived out from here. Oh my gosh, my Savior. He's creating in me this beautiful thing. And there He is, man, rejoice in my Savior. Above all, He's creating from all these colored fragments something amazing. He's coming back. He's coming back. Just like He came, He's coming back. Oh, praise God for that. Sometimes you and I need to step back and look at our life in a different way. We're just too close. We're just too close. Number two, there's so much to rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. There's so much. We have so much to rejoice about if we can overcome the moment. If we can overcome the moment. And that's what this passage is about right here. See, we're citizenships, but Yodi and Sintish are having a moment. They're having a moment. If you're going to rejoice, you're going to overcome the moment. That's what he's saying. The anxiety of this moment. The unreasonableness of this moment. Is somebody being unreasonable? Somebody being unteachable? You will have rejoicing. Here is a prescription. Dr. Terry is writing you out a prescription that will help to find rejoicing if you can overcome the moment. And we can. We can. We all have moments, but they're just fragments. And we can rejoice, particularly if we step back. We can rejoice for the big picture. We can overcome moments. Now, let me just say this to you. I am so proud of our men's Bible study on Monday night. And I'd invite every man, boy, male that wants to be a part of that to come. Our men, we have some men on Monday night. We've been studying Romans. And in their personal life application, we've had this discussion about how many times do I forgive someone? Because when we have a moment, right? When we have a moment, we put a deadline on the moment, don't we? All right, this is going to change by or . And we often put deadlines out there on people and on moments. if this doesn't change, I'm going to deadline. And so our guys on Monday night, and this is absolutely amazing. So the one guy was like, one of our guys was like, yeah, I usually, you know, I'll go like two or three times and then, pfft. And then he was listening to a Christian song of all things. Now, let me just put in a plug. Listen to Christian music. He was listening to Christian songs, Christian music, and the song was singing about, how many times do I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. Hey, Jesus, how many times do I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times, limit. 7 times, boundary. Do I forgive him as many as 7 times? And Jesus said, no. 70 times 7, you forgive your brother. There are moments. There are no boundaries on our forgiveness. And if you continue in that moment, there's going to be a boundary around you. You're going to lose your joy if you can't overcome that moment. And one avenue out of that moment is just plain forgiveness. 70 times 7. A song. And the guy that heard that song went, and he actually said, he went and looked up the Bible. He went and got the Bible and looked the passage up and said, what? 70 times 7. To beat these moments that want to take our joy. And I will tell you, and they have happened to some of us, your moment, my moment, if we don't overcome my moment, it will become a monument in my life. And it's planted. And I will live years of my life in my moment become monument. I will never escape it. I will take it with me. It'll always be standing there. Always be standing there. My moment becomes a monument. And if I don't get some help and move on, I'm a joyless servant of Jesus Christ. And somebody will need to come alongside and say, help this guy get along. Help this guy out of his moment. That's what he was telling them. Help them out of this moment. There's so much to rejoice in. And we're all going to have moments. You're not going to escape life on this planet. We are all going to have moments. Just don't let it become a monument. Some of us have. And I'm asking you, overcome this moment. What we're really trying to develop here at Cornerstone with the elders and the deacons, what we're really trying to develop is what he said, I love and long for you. You're my joy and my crown. That is the atmosphere. That is what we want to develop here. We're going to have our moments here. Cornerstone is going to have our moments. I'm just going to be honest with you. Friday night, we had an amazing night, but we had moments. Ask Debbie. You cannot have a production that big with so much going on in every corner of this church and not have a few moments. But when you step back and you look at Friday night, it was that. It was crazy fun. It was crazy amazing. There were so many kids watching and so many kids performing and the adults. It was amazing. I've never seen it like that in here. Ever. But we had our moments. Debbie probably had moments all week long. Little moment here, little moment there, little moment there. She's still recovering from her moments. Yeah. It's a big job. It's huge. Those moments don't become monuments. Those moments will not become monuments, because when we can step back, that was absolutely Jesus Christ all over the thing. And some of you and us and me have had moments in our life that are still trailing along with us. We've built them into monuments. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. So I'm asking you to overcome with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only question, if I'm going to push on you at all, is to say, you have a moment that has defined you. Is your Savior not big enough to handle it? Is your Savior not big enough to handle your moment? Whatever it was, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Is Jesus not enough to overcome your moment? Because this passage does say He's going to come and transform my body. I'm being transformed on the inside now. He's going to transform my body, and He's going to put everything in subjection to Him. Every single thing on this planet is going to bow at the name of Jesus and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Everything is bowing to His power. He doesn't have the power to move you out of your moment and overcome your temporary and light affliction. And it is temporary and light compared to all eternity. If you step back and look at the big picture, even deep pain now is temporary and light. Jesus, can you have Him? Do you have Him? Are you in Him? You see how many times in this passage they use that phrase? That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? It says, we're waiting on Jesus. We're waiting on the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. Stand firm thus in the Lord. Wait, stand firm in the Lord. Verse 2. I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree, where? In the Lord. Oh. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice, where? In the Lord. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds, where? In Christ Jesus. It's four times right here. He says, oh yeah, you're not going to find your rejoicing probably out there. You probably won't find that in your moment. Your argument's probably going to go on for a long time, except in the Lord. And I need you to stand and wait in the Lord and find this peace that passes all understanding, where? In the Lord. So I ask you again, is your Savior not big enough? Because I'm saying, if we are living our life through and in and by the Lord, when the Christian song comes up, I look it up in the Bible and I go, whoa, I was way off base on that. I'm asking us to live in the Lord so we can rejoice, so we can agree, so we can beat the moment, so we can have a peace that passes all understanding. And thirdly and finally, we love and we have so much to rejoice about. If we take to heart and take advantage of the fact that the Lord is at hand, the Lord is near. Let me say it again. We have so much to rejoice about. We have so much to be joy-filled people, and that's what rejoice means. Rejoice means joy-filled, cheerful, exuberant people. We have so much to rejoice in if we take to heart and take advantage of the fact that the Lord is at hand. That means the Lord is near. The Lord is near. So we pray. The Lord is near us. So we pray because he hears us. The Lord is near. Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's near. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. The Lord is near. Talk to him. Pour your heart out to him with thanksgiving. He's here. He's near. He's somewhere. He's not as far as you think he is. I love this. I love the end of this. And the peace of God which surpasses understanding. So let's just get this clear. Let's just clear this air right here. If you're going to overcome your moment and rejoice, and that peace and that anxiety that's so at odds with each other, you want peace, but this anxiety is fighting you. You want to overcome that? Where's your peace coming from? Let's just admit it. Let's just say it right now. I don't know. The Lord's going to give it to me. But I'm not going to understand it because it surpasses understanding. And if you're trying to figure out your peace, you're missing the point. You're missing it. You're not going to understand where it came from. You're just going to be at peace. Because he's near and he's going to give it to you. And it's going to guard your heart and your mind. You're not going to understand. I'm not going to understand it. If you ask me, Terry, where did this peace come from? I'm going to say, I don't know. It came from God. You talk to him. This is not a peace you can figure out on paper. I have a moment. And this is what we always do. I have a moment, so I need to A, B, C. And I will get relief. This says you don't. This says, I'm near, talk to me, and I'll give it to you. And don't worry about how it got here. You just get it, because I love you. That's crazy. That's faith. That's faith. I don't know. You got a big problem. I don't know. Walk in the Lord. Let's do this God's way. Let's walk in the Lord. Let's just crack this baby open. Listen to some Christian music. Walk in the Lord. And we'll look back and go, man, how did we do that? How did that happen? Where did that peace come from? Why did that relationship clear up? Why did that moment go away? Why am I okay with it? Why can I see the big picture and it's so beautiful, although there was a moment in there that was just so hard. I don't know, but it's just cool. We're just going with it because he said it. I'm near. You see that? Verse 5, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's at hand. He's near. He's an arm's length away. We can't see him, but he's near. Paul knew this. Paul knew this way too well, how near the Lord is in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, it says here, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Rise and go into the city, and you'll be told what to do. And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Paul knew really well how near the Lord really is. The dude shone a light on me and he spoke to me and we all heard the voice. He's close. And I'm telling you, oh, look, a light, a star. Wise men followed a star. They were in the fields, the shepherds, and the angels filled the sky. And they followed that star, and it shone over this manger, and the light's still shining. Jesus is near. Rejoice! Rejoice! He's not so far away. He can barely make out your cry. He's not. He's near. Pray. Pour your heart out. If you believe anything about Christmas, you believe the Lord is near. If you believe He ascended and rose into heaven, you still believe He's near. And He's coming. He's going to be here. He's near. He's not here, but He's near. He's close to you. He hears you. He sees you. He knows your moment. And He's telling you, step back, son. Step back, daughter. And see the beautiful mosaic. Step back. Step back from the moment. I'm near. I have the power. Get in me. Live in me. And overcome your moment. And I will give you peace. You'll never be able to understand. You'll never be able to map out. But you will have the peace. And that is what you want, don't it? Do you have to understand it, or do you just want the peace? He's not far. He's near. He's not here yet. But from everything I can gather, we're waiting on Him to come. And He could be seconds away. He could be moments away, like Paul. Paul, what are you doing? He's near. If Christmas means anything, it means God came near. God came near. I want you to join me in reading a scripture. And so today, our theme is rejoice and rejoice and rejoice in peace. In peace. Because that's what this is, in peace. And moments will steal our peace. And moments that become monuments will keep our peace. We'll never have peace. Your moment is a monument. If you can't share it as a moment, if you can't share it as a moment, here was a moment I had that God beat. If you can't share it as a moment, it's a monument. It's still living on. So we are rejoice, and again I say rejoice, you have so much to rejoice about, in peace, in peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Would you stand with me and let's read this together. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. Amen. Believe that? Or is that just refrigerator Christmas card stuff? Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. Forevermore. Amen. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Your moment too hard for Him? Is your moment, your stress, your anxiety, whatever it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, last week, too much for the Savior? You don't know Christmas then. And maybe you don't know Jesus. But get in Him. Get in Him. Get in the Lord. Stop dragging that nasty old monument around with you. You have so much to rejoice for. This family right here, we are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. He's not here yet, but he's near. He's near. See it from heaven's view. Step back. Step back. And see how in control your Lord really is. See how powerful. If you need help with your moment, come see somebody. Come see somebody. And if you've been dragging your moment for the last 10, 15 years, it's really a monument. Come see somebody. Let's get rid of it. Let's face it. That's what all these testimonies are about. That's why we keep having testimonies now. So our board decided we need to just share. Share who we were. When we realized we were a sinner and needed a Savior and we made a turn. And now who we're becoming. In Him. It's beautiful. Moments are just become one little colored piece of glass in an amazingly beautiful picture with Jesus right there at the top. And if that's not your life, man, I'm inviting you. I am inviting you in. Come into the Lord. Come and see us. Come and see somebody. Come and see somebody. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for your love. You love and you long for us. You love and you long for those who are yours, your sheep of your family. You love and you long for us, your joy and your crown. We will throw our crowns at your feet, Jesus. When you come back, we will throw every crown at your feet. You deserve it all. You are the Lamb that was slain. You're the Savior of the world. You're not here, but you're near. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Your blood is powerful enough to overcome our moments and form a beautiful stained glass window of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.